It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B, innit?
Yeah, bruv. I'm Johnny Smacks, innit, bruv? You don't know why, Gwan. Welcome to podcast 160. Coming to you like grease lightning. Go grease lightning, you're burning up the quarter mile.
Grease lightning, go grease lightning.
And yeah, we are doing the actions with our arms. On this week's podcast, we discuss conspiracy theories. Is the earth flat? Is Bill Gates trying to microchip you?
He used to think pulled pork was when you got off with a guard. Ooh. But it's slow roasted shoulder. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She has big dick energy. Or maybe she just, I don't know. Maureen is here with her mystery topic. I was going to make an inappropriate joke.
And as traditional as your mother ringing you to say, there's a letter here for you. It looks important. Will I open it? I'm after opening it here now. There's a fella looking for you. You never paid that thing. We round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week, which is brought to you by Applegreen, where they're doing breakfast rolls 100% Irish. This, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming at you now to Two Johnnies. This is for the people of the world. Anyone listening in from the International Space Station too, any crack up there, you can surely tune us in with all them satellites you have knocking around. This is for the boys doing the roadworks on the Golden to New Inn Road. You're doing God's work, but Neil asks, could you just do it a little faster? St. Patrick's Day is on the way, and with no parade for 2 years in a row, the snakes are on the plane, ready to reinvade Shannon and the wider Limerick area. They won't get past Ross Grey, John Carroll will have a size 35 out, ready to drive them into hell or awfully. The pubs are still closed. This is for the lads dreaming of black stuff and starry nights, turf fires and city lights. The ladies dreaming of a cut and a colour, hairdressers and beauty salons. They'd nearly settle for a short back and sides at this stage. Canterbury GAA and the county of New Zealand tell us they're running a hurling tournament this weekend, and we're still out running the roads, single file. That bypass is getting longer every pre-season, John, but sure, we'll run it anyway. To our listeners in South America, South Tipperary, Japan, and even West Kilkenny, welcome aboard. Hang up your hang-ups, get your coat you've scored. Any cracks, or where would you get it? You'll get it right here, into your ear. As Freddie Mercury used to say, don't stop me now. But he never played junior football of a wet Sunday morning in Solihull. But if he did, he'd be singing, we are the champions. Another week down. Well done, everyone.
Come on, John Boy. Before commencing, though, with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On Maura's mystery topic about having children, Raymond was in touch to say, please don't let that fear prevent you from missing out on one of the greatest experiences in life. Yes, the first few years of being a parent can be tough going, but there's plenty of incredible events during these early years to make it all the worthwhile. First time hearing Dada. First steps, first time cycling a bike. Or Noel Furlong might say, never having to go get a bucket of turf for the fire again. The list goes on.
You're selling it now. Yeah. Now we're really talking.
Change the channel there, you will. Yeah. Honestly, those years go by in the blink of an eye. My kids are 17 and 15 now, and I have no idea where the time went. The teenage years have some ups and downs also, but it gets easier the more time goes by. Whether it's skiing with my 15-year-old son or pretending I used to be in the RA to scare boys away from my 17-year-old daughter that she might bring home. There's nothing like being a parent, and I honestly recommend it. But as far as keeping the social life afloat and not losing out on time with the lads after you become a parent, I have the answer. 'Tis very simple, lads. The key is to make sure the missus has plenty of nights out with her friends. That's basically all there is to it. If you know you've a big night coming up where you're likely to be out late with the boys and you're having a big feed of creamy pints, then send her out with her friends the weekend before. Tell her not to worry about a thing and you stay home and take care of the smalleens. When she staggers in the door at 3:15 in the morning with half a takeaway in one hand and a broken high heel in the other and the makeup running down her face.
That's Carlo.
Crying and telling you that Cynthia is a bitch. I agree with her and tell her you never really liked Cynthia anyway. Take her up the stairs, tuck her in, stick a bucket beside her head and let her sleep in as long as she wants. When she finally wakes up, give her 2 aspirin, a big mug of coffee and the TV remote and tell her you'll take care of the cubs. Now you bought yourself a night out with the lads and you should be able to get away with pretty much anything. Even getting arrested for climbing up and riding the panther statue outside Pittsburgh University. Hypothetically speaking.
And Raymond.
If on the other hand she gives you a hard time and bitches at you the following weekend for getting too drunk, then I'm afraid you married an old bag and you should have known this before you had the kids. That's your fault.
Watch.
Also, while the missus is pregnant, you have a designated driver for 9 months. Happy days.
I'm in Raymond. Boy, that's an alternative look at parenting there.
Raymond in Pittsburgh, week on, week off.
Frank has another story here. He's from Philadelphia. A lot of American listeners getting in touch this week. Just a story regarding having kids or not having kids, says Frank. I used to be a barman here in Philadelphia, and I met a fellow who still to this day works for a major electronics company. He spends half the year in Asia and the other half in the United States on both East and West Coasts. He'd come into me at the bar every couple of months or so and we would have a good chat. He was telling me that he never had kids, but he does love kids. So what he does is essentially he sponsors kids all over the world. He's sort of like a sugar daddy, I suppose. That's fucking definitely the wrong term. So he pays for their school and other expenses. He said he never wanted kids because he knew his lifestyle would be unsuitable, but gets fulfillment by helping and educating kids all over the world.
Wow.
So like,
what a man.
You can sponsor kids though, can't you? Like Trocra, can't you?
Yeah.
Or is it Goal you can sponsor?
All them.
Yeah.
All them,
yeah,
lads.
Yeah. So you can sponsor kids. There you go. Yeah, that's nice.
He's maybe making the world a better place.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Wow. I hope he tips the barman.
Yes. He's $1 at the end of the night. Your man's like, you fucker.
I'm going to write to all those kids telling them what a prick you are. They will hate you. And your money. And Michelle said, I have 2 kids, 7 and 4. Those are just terrible names. Uh-huh.
4, 4, 7.
I have 2 kids, 7 and 4, and love the bones of them, even if they drive me up the wall on a daily basis. One thing you forgot to chat about was that if having kids is so hard, then why on earth do most people have more than one child? Surely after the trauma of having one and the realization of how much your life is upended, why on earth would you have more? The truth is you find yourself loving every inch of that child. The low points are hard, but the high points more than make up for them. Those highs are what you remember, not the low points. Also, having kids may finally make men of you boys.
Oh, handy.
P.S. I live in Greystones in Wicklow, the home of the happy pair. We passed the 2 happy pair boys on the street the other day, and my daughter, 7, turned to me and said, Mum, are they the 2 Johnnies? No, we're the happy pint.
The happy pints, lad. That's us. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
7.
Four. Go over here. She makes a fair point there. It's like, yeah, why does everyone keep... So it must be good to have kids because people keep having it. Yeah. Surely it'd be like, I knew a fella who had a kid once.
Yeah.
Fucking awful. Don't try ever it. Try it. Yeah. Don't ever try it. You don't want to try it. It's awful. So we're getting in lots of positivities to parenthood. Winning the lotto, though. Here's another positive. You won't want to have kids if you win the lotto, will you? Ruth emailed the podcast. When I was in 5th year, I worked in this little news agency where we sold the lotto. This man would always come in, buy a ticket for the Euro Millions, and jokingly I would always say to him, if you win now you owe me at least half because I gave you the lucky ticket. Little did I know he would go on to win the Euro Millions, winning 57 million.
What?
Oh my god, if this is true. This lad was so sound, and after he won he came back into the shop and said he wanted to give me some of his winnings because I'd given him the winning ticket. I was a little bit hesitant to give my bank details, but a few days later my bank balance was 10 grand richer. This lovely man had just transferred me 10,000 because I took a computer-generated ticket out of the machine. That's a lovely thing to do. But 57 million and he'd be 10 grand. I'd been going back to him and been like, come on now, pal. You know what I mean? Throw another knot on that, will you?
He's actually 26,990,000 short of half. Just hotting it up here on my phone.
Fair play to him though. I suppose, look, you know, you
that's
have
better
to,
than nothing.
Yeah, it's better than a slap of a wet fish.
Yeah. Where was that? That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
On hospitals, Jur is looking for a nurse.
Well, hey, this isn't the Lonely Hearts Club now.
No, it's not.
Sure's looking for a nurse, mate.
Is he? Aren't we all?
He's 6'1", has a bit of land.
He says, boys, I'm looking for a bit of help.
He likes ferrets.
Yeah. It's quite the catch.
Oh, I just read ahead.
Not sure if you can help, if you are the people to help me, but it's worth a shot. I'm not sure where else to go. So it turns out I have Crohn's disease, which is shit crack at times, excuse the pun. I ended up in Beaumont Hospital with it 2 years ago around this time. Ended up being in for nearly 4 months. I met a nurse that time named Dee, D-E-E, that was looking after me on the ward. Very good looking girl and great crack. Got me through some really tough days. Had other lads on the ward telling me she was into me and I was onto her. I was into her. Now at the time I had lost, 36 kg in the space of 8 weeks.
Fuck.
And had probably every complication Crohn's could throw at me. Was talks of my kidney being taken out. Absolutely everything went wrong that could have gone wrong. As you might expect, I wasn't in the humour or had the head for asking her out at the time. Ended up on stuff called TPN, intravenous nutrition, and not being able to eat or drink for 9 weeks before surgery. Had managed to write my number on a piece of paper before surgery, only to find out she was on a week's holidays. Feckin' typical. Anyway, I've no idea how to find this nurse D. I'm still in and out of Beaumont, but no way to see her again. COVID is stopping me from being allowed upstairs to bump into her. What do I do now? It's 2 years later and I still think about her. I regret not asking her out at the time. If nothing else, it will be great to say hello and say thank you for everything. She's probably 5'6", dark hair, from Dublin. She was on St. Lawrence's ward at the time. Also a funny story while I'm dropping into DMs, okay? Was in A&E one night, which was common at the time. A man of possible Romanian descent with very broken English ran in with blood all over his arm up to the check-in desk. Could hear it from my seat. Told the girl he had HIV and the staff acted accordingly. The triage nurse came out fully gowned up and ready to take him in. At that time, his wife appeared shocked at the nurses fully gowned up to give him a few stitches. She was told this was standard procedure for patients with HIV, to which she replied, "No, he has VHI. Private health insurance.
Not HIV. Okay, so we are putting the call out here on the Two Johnnies podcast. If you are D, the nurse, who is probably 5'6", dark hair, from Dublin, and you are on St. Lawrence's ward.
In Beaumont.
Do contact us. There's a man here, and he's looking to get in touch with you.
Yeah. He was, you know what I mean? He was shook when he was in with you.
Yeah.
He's looking better now.
Yeah, he's good. He's good to go.
And he's got a sense of humour.
Yeah. So he's obviously a funny guy. Great catch. Jer's obviously a great catch.
Listens to the Two Johnnies podcast. He's got a lot going for him.
D, get in touch. Or if you're a friend or a girl who nursed with D.
Yeah, come on.
We want to try and link this together here.
We know we've got nurses listening.
Get in touch. Now, once again, on the topic of nurses, David shared his experience with a student nurse. Back in the late 90s or early noughties, myself and a buddy used to leave work in Naas on a Monday evening and head straight to Flannery's in Dublin, then to Copper's afterwards for the infamous nurses' night out after their week in night shifts. You could be guaranteed the place will be wedged, and after a feed of porter and loads of crack, you'd sleep in the car if there was nothing else on the cards.
God be with the days, boy.
Ought to be young. One of these Mondays, I ended up with a nurse from Waterford or Dungarvan.
Sorry, John. Dungarvan. Waterford or Dungarvan. Was she Abbey Side? Was she...
You ended up with a nurse from Waterford and Garvin and ended up heading on with her. Next morning, I got her number, ended up meeting for a few more times. The times I met her, I never saw her eat. Not so much as a single spud. Just drink and more drink. She was driving a Toyota Starlet with four tyres on it, which were balder than Bruce Willis's bell end. I enjoyed that. You know she's from Waterford, lad. She don't eat. She just drinks and drives a fucking Starlet. Next sentence has got to be, She also had her both eyebrows pierced.
She definitely had speakers cut into the oak over the boot and wires hanging down, black and red and wires.
Anyway, she said her father had given her cash the previous Sunday night heading back so she could buy four tyres, but the cash didn't survive the first Monday back in Dublin. It was a sight to behold. Her and her group of friends could put away more beer on a Monday night than a rugby team on a stag party, and a lot of them had to go to work the following morning and treat patients. I was shipped off to Foss and Cork shortly afterwards, lost my phone on a night out, so couldn't contact her again. I occasionally wonder if she survived the alcohol poisoning, the malnutrition, and the ball tyres. Sorry for the lack of didlows, etc. in my story.
That's fine.
I enjoyed that one.
Thanks, David.
So if you are the Waterford nurse who drove a Starlet with a ball tyre, we're just calling out nurses here now on the podcast.
Are you still alive? So, on teachers, Mick from Wexford was in touch. We used to have a class supervisor in secondary school, i.e. not a teacher, but they'd come in for free classes, study, etc. Just keep an eye on you. We had one fella who was perhaps the most dour, ignorant fucker of all time, but I'm fairly sure he's dead now, so I won't give out his name. What a gent, Mick. Anyway, he was taking a free class one day with only about 10 of us in the class. We had nothing to be at, so three or four of us were having the crack, throwing stuff at one another, the usual. Anyway, I was eating crayons.
Yeah, you know, the usual stuff.
Shoved chalk up my nose, all the usual crank. Anyway, this fella just got sick of us, and he pulled three or four of us out into the corridor to give out to us and send us up to the principal. He started with the usual, this is unacceptable, yada, yada, yada. We weren't taking him too seriously, which was when he delivered these memorable lines. Some of you lads think you're untouchable. Well, let me tell you right now, you're very fucking touchable. We had a great laugh. Students are not touchable.
Ever.
Back in the day, you could bait lads, though.
Yeah, you could rap, but...
When I was in school, primary school, and we're very small now, there was one old teacher who'd be up the front. He'd stand and he'd lean on a yoke, like a pulpit that a priest would have. He'd kind of lean on one of them, and he'd a stick. It was like the handle of a sweeping brush.
How old are you?
and he'd, if anyone wasn't paying attention in the front row, he'd like jab you in the shoulder with it.
Oh.
Yeah.
And yeah, I reckon that's definitely illegal when you were in primary school.
Probably, but sure.
Outlawed.
He'd throw a duster at you as well.
Yeah, nice guy.
Or like if you were... If you were kind of daydreaming or anything, he had his massive set of keys. He was like the warden of Port Leash, like, going around with the for the school.
The Green Mile.
And he'd drop the keys like right beside your head if you weren't paying attention in class.
Wow.
Great crack. Sure.
Great crack.
Throwing, you know, like all the stories, like I heard he threw a duster and he was aiming for smacks, but then he bent down to write something and then it hit Jerry right in the nose, like, you know?
Hearsay, lad. Hearsay. Let's have something more wholesome on the podcast now. Yes, it's back. Samba soccer.
Bumbaleo!
Aaron emailed, I did samba when I was 9 in Dublin. Our coach was Dunga. Obviously not the Brazilian chap who captained Brazil to the 1994 World Cup, but was close enough for us. His accent and complexion were believable, so we thought nothing of this. One of his friends was pitch side, giving out to him on day 2. His friend from Brazil, so he said. Scaldy looking fucker, actually looking back on it. He was speaking Brazilian. Right, quote, although that's not actually a language. He had to run off to the dressing room for a sec with his friend. Now, this was one of those 5-pitch public fields, so the dressing room was a bit away and only coaches used it. It was about 1 kilometre away from our pitch on the far side of the field. He ran in, got something big and shiny for his friend and ran back over to us and resumed. No big deal for 9 to 12 year olds, nothing to see here. About 2 or 3 weeks later, I was floating down Henry Street with my mam. Who did I see outside Arnott's? Dunga, playing the fucking trombone with 5 or 6 other lads in what appeared to be a Romanian band when the Saints go marching in. How did they get away with it? Oh my God, that's...
It's not racist, but like to a 9-year-old, if you, oh no, he's from Brazil, like. Yeah, so he doesn't know the difference.
Yeah, he hasn't a clue. Like, he just doesn't speak like the same accent as you, yeah.
Oh, samba soccer for life, man. Okay. A warning for those listening with their parents, because Donal is here to give us some home truths.
Mm-hmm.
Lads, you'll remember on episode 158, there was a story from a lady named Emer, who was telling tales about a financial advisor who was into supposedly a bit of necrophilia. Yeah. You'll remember we had a great laugh about the cheese board, the charcuterie.
Yeah, he liked dead people, this guy. So, allegedly.
She won the mug. Well, the fella the story was about has been in touch.
He's about to have his say.
Donald said, I was listening back to that very episode today and it slowly dawned on me that the details of the story were based on me. Thereafter is straight out of a Stephen King novel. I'd like to step forward and offer my version of events as the financial advisor in question who's allegedly prone to necrophilia. To be fair, she told a cracking yarn and was deservedly awarded the mug. In reality, you heard a cock and bull story which could not be further from the truth.
Oh yes, come on, come on.
I was living in Dublin until a few weeks ago, and before Xmas just gone, I wandered onto Tinder out of lockdown frustration. The two of us met before Christmas and, in fairness, had a few decent dates. However, after Christmas, things took a very strange turn. One evening, it was herself who called over to my gaff with a ridiculous spread for a cheese board, including a wheel of camembert. She put
charcuterie.
She put the camembert aside and said we'd save it for later. I thought little of it and tucked into some nice cheddar. Fast forward a few hours and things were getting steamy after the vino. We slipped into the bedroom and proceedings got underway. I figured we were all set to start polishing the brass when she said she needed a glass of water. A few minutes later, she returned to the room and walked in with the camembert cheese melted on a plate. I sat there perplexed as she dipped her finger into the runny gloop and pulled a thick string of cheese up to her lips.
Jesus Christ.
She then said she wanted to rub it all over my apparatus and lick me clean. At this point, my little turtle recoiled back into his shell.
I don't like cheese.
And I tapped out for the night.
Is Mickey's lactose intolerant?
I have allergies. No. Needless to say, I dropped her like a hot schnot in jig time without ever bringing up the bizarre cheese events of the night. Judging by her yarn about me, my decision to ghost her and call it off on my terms was not well received. The last time I'll cross a nurse, she did, in fact, buy me those happy socks with the coffins on them for Christmas. Pretty weird, I thought, and perhaps I should have seen it as an indicator of things to come. I'll admit to disclosing that I appreciate the ceremony of a funeral, but she took an inch and ran a mile. So for clarity's sake, everyone can rest assured there is not a necrophiliac wandering around the country stalking out funerals and volunteering as an assistant mortician in any morgues. However, there is a nurse who has a fetish for melted camembert cheese on the loose. Now, I did email him back and say, okay, were you at these funerals? Did she see you in a hospital? But he has not replied.
Mm.
So the plot
thickens, lad.
Just like the camembert.
Like a stringy bit of camembert, boy.
It's right. Thickening.
Who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports, who sell all the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise? TwoJohnnies.ie if you want to get your hands on some bits.
Mar, who'd you like for the mug?
I think if we give a mug to Emer, we're going to have to give a mug to that lad, so.
If he replies, he will get a mug.
Okay.
Okay, we can give him the mug. I also like the Sam the Soccer story, but I'm biased.
The woman who named her kids 7 and 4.
Yeah. Juror who's looking for a nurse.
Yeah, no, he could be getting the right. He's not getting the mug.
Okay. Right, look, Donald, you went out of your way and got in touch with us. Can we give it to Donald?
Okay,
but
give it to Donald.
We want to reply, Donald, for next week. You got to earn the mug here,
man.
I'm
not getting it, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Donald, you can email Camembert Mickey. You can email podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie with your contact details, and we'll turn up your house and ask you why you're volunteering in the morgue.
Or are you?
Yeah. Or are you? Just get in touch, man. Just let us
clarify,
know. We'll give you the mug.
Yeah. And Emer can give her take on the camembert cheese situation as well.
Yeah, Emer, you're welcome with a retort.
This ain't over.
Yeah, it's going to be a running team. At some live show we're going to bring, your man out and just smear him in camembert.
Emer and Dawn are going to have a boxing match. Okay.
Weekly roundup, what's been going on, John, to Johnny's land?
So, it had been about a month more, 6 weeks, and it was finally time for Smacks to cut my hair again.
Oh, yes.
And he's been on to me for about 2 years now to shave my head.
Yeah.
And this week,
we finally went through it.
I said, go on. And I didn't look at any of it.
Jesus Christ, took around fucking, honestly, took an hour and a half to convince him. He's like, give me a look in the mirror. I don't know. You were panicking, lad. Johnny Jitters, boy.
More, the funniest thing, right? So it's pretty much, what's like a five blade on top.
Yeah.
It's pretty short.
Yeah.
He had our barber on video call. And he was like, he had the gel out, right? And so my hair at the front is about like 6 mil long, I would say. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It's pretty short.
Yeah.
And he's like flicking it. And then the barber's like, no, like back the other way you had it. And Max is like, what about this way? And I'm like, lads, I have no hair. What are you flicking? I can't. And then he came in yesterday, and Maura, and Johnny's like, why have you got it up? You're supposed to wear it down. I'm like, what are you talking about?
There's a tiny difference in the fringe. You can lie the fringe down a little bit.
Yeah. But like, yeah, our manager rang on video call and he was like, oh yeah, you weren't fucking around.
He also said that we looked like lads who'd kicked the fuck out of you. Johnny with the shaved head and me with the bleached blonde hair. He's like, yeah, you know, people meet you and they won't know what they're getting, you know. Are you nice lads? Are you going to kick the fuck out of them? You know? Like, that's what's our new look.
I definitely, when I look in the mirror, I think it's having an effect on me. Like, I was just, you kept saying to me, like, oh, you look fair hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do look class. You also look bigger. You look more musclier with the shaved head. I don't know why. You look like you're just fucking in the army, man.
Makes my neck look bigger.
Yeah, you look like a tank.
I do have an extremely large neck.
Do steak neck.
Steak neck, yeah. It's like 18-inch neck.
It looks good on you, though. I'm jealous because you've got a good, like, straight hairline. Something I don't have. I have a widow's peak. But I can assure you, if I had your hairline, I would have my hair like that.
Why?
It's just class, man. No fuss. You're just waiting up in the morning just being like, I'm beautiful. You know what I mean? I wake up and I'm like, oh, I need to cover that, flick that, move. It takes me around an hour to do my hair. I'm like Donald Trump. I'm like Donald Trump, lad. 100%. You look great. Maura, do you like it?
Yeah, I don't know. I really want to watch Full Metal Jacket again. I don't know why. That haircut reminds me of that film. So
Jarhead.
Yeah, I think you look class.
Is that the shortest you've ever had your hair?
Yeah. Even as a kid, like. Since I came out with my mother, lad, this is the shortest.
Class, looks deadly.
I do feel hard going on the place.
Yeah. Do you know what you do? As soon as we finish this podcast, just go out and just knock on your neighbour. I know, like, why is she 75? Just fucking knock her out.
Just do her in.
Yeah, just do her in. don't even think. Just
cave her in.
Just, shh. Yeah.
Well, yeah, later on, go to hospital.
Yeah.
Went for a run yesterday. Went for my longest ever run. I was just like, I'm fucking hard. This is what hard lads do.
Yeah.
This is what hard lads do.
You're like Tom Hardy in Warrior, lad.
I'm not in his shape, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, inside.
I need to get a few neck tattoos.
Yeah.
And a good backstory.
Well, I enjoyed cutting your hair and I said it yesterday when we were having a game of table tennis. I was like, your hair's class, lad.
Yeah.
And I stand by that.
Well, some people are telling me I look like John Cena.
Now, my favourite was when someone told you look like a toilet brush. I got fantastic mileage out of that. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, well,
credit to him. On the other hand, I've just been listening to a lot of Celine Dion this week.
Well, Max kept telling me, no man, you're like Dermot Kennedy now. He's fair cool. You're like Dermot Kennedy. And then people were messaging going, you're like Dermot Bannon. Anyway,
yeah, got some great replies.
What are you doing listening to Celine Dion?
Celine Dion's class, man.
I know,
so underrated. What a voice. I watched the Britney Spears documentary during the week. And I was saying to Annie, like, she wouldn't lace the boots of Celine Dion. So then we just went down a Celine Dion rabbit hole. Can you just watch the Britney Spears documentary?
Well,
it's dog shit. It's fucking dog shit.
Do you think so?
Yeah, it's not like, it didn't tell me anything I didn't already know.
Okay.
By watching it, like. So if I was going to fucking talk about watching the documentary, I watched that Lou Pearlman story on YouTube.
The Boy Band Con.
Boy Band Con. That's a proper documentary. But Britney Spears just seemed like, let's get a load of reporters around and talk about her. That's kind of all it is.
So they don't have any of her family?
They've got one person who was her old tour manager. Other than that, there's no links there.
And she doesn't say anything?
They got a paparazzi lad in, and it was like, he was like, you know, Britney was really good with us. She never told us to go away or anything like that. And it just showed a clip of her being like, please leave me alone. He's like, yeah, but she meant like for the day. It's like, I'm fucking pretty sure she didn't, pal. But yeah, no, I thought the documentary was built up to be so good.
Mm.
It wasn't that great in the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to say thanks to everybody who has signed up to the Two Johnnies Extra Podcast available on Patreon. On last week's Extra Podcast number 50, Johnny Smacks, you revealed
Do you know what? This is just revenge for all those clips we picked out with Maura.
Unusual step in your beauty regime.
Thank you. Do you know what? Honestly, this is going to sound so stupid. you know when you were a child, right? And like your mam would like dry you or whatever. Now I'm talking about baby here now, right? And they'd put talc on you.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I get out of the shower, just if I'm going to have a nice night watching television, I apply some talc.
Where? On your armpits?
And my balls.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm looking at Neil and Johnny here. Put a bit of talc in your balls, lad.
Okay.
Fuck, it's so free. They don't stick, you know, they're just free, man.
Happy output.
They're just dry as fuck by the air, yeah. Under my armpits and then just a little bit in there.
In your gooch. Yeah. Okay, your tisn't.
Yeah. There's always been the outsiders who believe in conspiracy theories, but in recent years, madcap theories have started to make their way into the mainstream. With that in mind, we've decided to look at the history of conspiracy theories. What are some of the mad ones out there? And ask, why do people believe in them?
It's the internet, man. Nobody believes.
It's melting my brain.
People don't trust the news anymore.
Yeah, nobody trusts anyone anymore.
Yeah, I don't. Are you here?
I'm sure I'm a robot.
Oh
yeah. Yeah.
Fucking knew it.
Big robot Mickey on extendable. I had to. An accident there years ago. Robocock.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Off the bat as well. I didn't even write that one.
Okay.
Robocock.
Okay, we're gonna start with kind of a fun one. This one might sound crazy.
Well, this isn't fun.
Well, this one might sound crazy to some people listening, but a lot of people are into this. They have big conventions and all this about this one, right? Flat Earth. Yes. Flat Earthers hold the belief that the Earth is not a globe, but a circle with the North Pole at the center and Antarctica, not a continent, but a big ring of ice around the perimeter, which keeps all the oceans in. So basically, they think the Earth is like a plate that you'd cook a tart in.
And what if they took the stopper out? Oh, I'll just flow out the bottom of it, piece out the bottom of it. There's one for you now. There's your flat earth theory.
You could probably drill a hole and let out all the water.
Yeah.
All the fish be gone.
Madness.
Like, people used to think the earth was flat, like hundreds of years ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, did you ever hear of Ferdinand Magellan?
I did. Studied him, lad, in all the history, primary school.
You used to play for Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah. No. That's him.
No.
South American lad. Yeah. Nice chap.
He sailed around the world in 1519, so... After that, most people were like, all right, you can probably sail around the world, so it's not flat.
Mm.
But the thing about it is that flat earthers, in a nutshell, are kind of, a lot of them are religious, and they think that it's a whole globe deception, it's a whole conspiracy that God made the world on flat, and he's in charge of things, and they want you to think that we're on a big ball floating through space, the Big Bang, Bang Theory, aliens, all that is all made up to make you forget about God. And it's all part of the great deception, because if you don't believe in God, then you don't, I suppose you care less about different things and you're easier to manipulate and to sell products to, etc. That's, I think, the gist of it.
You've hit the nail on the head there.
But like, you know, for us as Irish people, we have kind of funny relationship with religion.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting married, so you're probably going to have it in a church.
But hey.
Hang on.
Don't fucking throw me under the bus here, Pat.
Right, okay. And if there's a funeral, like, you probably have it in a church.
Yeah, I haven't decided yet, but okay. Yeah. And I'm then probably leaning towards the church.
A lot of people go at Christmas for the nose.
Oh, yeah, I do. Go and check people's clothes out, yeah.
But, like, Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Where's the hardcore lads?
So it's like, mass is like, I'll play the matches, but I'm not going training.
Fine day supporters, lad. Yeah. That's exactly what. Hurlers on the ditch.
Hurlers on the ditch.
The fucking communion's not worth a shite today.
Yeah, Catholics on the ditch, lad.
Fucking hymns are terrible. Hymns are terrible. Need a new manager.
So that's the gist of it. So flat earthers have a lot of support.
Yeah.
But there's one thing.
If you are a flat earther, please don't message the podcast.
So everybody, give me 30 seconds here and I'm going to try and disprove it.
Right.
They think that the North Pole, take the Earth as the clock, right?
Okay.
The North Pole is the centre.
Yeah.
Australia will be 2 o'clock.
Right.
South Africa will be 6 o'clock.
Right.
And then like the tip of South America, Argentina, would be like 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if all those people stand there with their back to the centre of the clock, with their back to the North Pole.
Yeah.
And if they look out, they should all see different things in the night sky.
Yeah.
Because they're all looking different directions. But they don't. they're all actually like at the bottom end of a tennis ball, the world. So when they look up at the night sky, they all see the same stars.
Yes. Yes.
So the earth can't be flat.
If I was to disprove that theory, I'd be saying Elon Musk has a load of money and he can go to like the moon if he wants. Like surely he would pay someone to be like, keep driving straight.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean, Elon? He's like, no. Just keep driving straight. I'll give you $1 billion. Just keep driving straight as far as you can go until you fall off the side of the earth. And then your man's like, Elon, 2 years now I've been driving straight. And he goes, you fall off the earth? Yeah. No. There you go. Thank you and good night. Someone would have, some mad folk, like people go to, you know, the moon. Someone would have went straight off the edge, lad. Would have fell, fell off the side of it. Ah! Fucking, what's that? Die Hard. Ah! McLean falling off the
plane.
Falling off the side of the earth.
Hans Gruber.
Yeah. Someone would have went off the side of it by now. And I'd have heard about.
I just
so
think
I'm all right in the belief. I don't care if it's hexagon, fucking what, diamond. I'm all right. Tip isn't going anywhere. Safe enough.
Do you know, like the edge of the world would be some tourist attraction.
100% big slide. Coca-Cola, a big slide down the side, like Peter Pan world.
Where are you going on your holidays? The edge of the world. What, Leitrim? No, actually, the edge of the actual edge of the world. You know what I mean?
So that's flat earth.
We're giving that a thumbs down.
And if you believe in flat earth, we don't mean to shit down on your beliefs. We're just giving our point of view here. And if you have a point of view, probably write it on one of those message boards with all your buddies who are flat earthers as well. Don't message us. Okay. We're just trying to have the crack. This is a comedy podcast, all right?
Thumbs down on that one. Yeah. Okay, number two. Donald Trump can time travel and the whole QAnon movement.
Yes, go on. You tell people what it is.
So QAnon is a theory that claims Donald Trump is secretly fighting a deep state cabal of satanic pedophiles and cannibals. So straight away, this one's a bit hairy, right?
Right. It's like it's like Call of Duty.
It's not your average pub talk.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to the pub...
lad, if I'm going to the pub and some lad goes, do you think Trump's a time traveller? I'm like, sorry there, I think I left something in a burning building. I must go in and get it. So that I can melt my entire body. You know, like, but there is a lad like that in every pub who's like, the alien. Do you remember the time we went to New York?
Oh my God, yeah.
Fresh off the plane, and some lad was like, there's a bomb in here. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Is this it? Is this, I came the whole way to America?
Where was he from?
He was from like Derry or something.
Yeah, somewhere, yeah.
No, he'd had a lot to drink.
He'd had quite a bit to drink. Yeah. And then he came over to us. We were standing at the counter, and he was like, lads, there's a bomb there. You need to move over here. And we're like, what? 6 feet away?
Yeah. A water bomb, pal, is it? And then, yeah. And then he was like, can I buy you a drink? I was like, I'm not taking a man from this lad. The drink off. Harry, now we're here in a fucking box.
I want none of what you're having.
Yeah. 100%. Sorry, that was just a site. We got sidetracked. QAnon, John.
So this starts in 2017. So there's a message board called 4chan where somebody posting under the name Q was supposedly a high-level government official posting details of the inner workings of the government, right? But this could be anyone because it's anonymous.
Yes.
So there's no way to like 100% prove that it is someone from the government. Like it could be, you know, your ma or your dad just being bored at home. Well, Dad, what are you up to? Oh, sorry, nothing there. Closing the laptop. Porn, I swear.
I swear to God it was porn.
The main thing... the gist of it is they say that like Trump has a big plan. It's all part of a plan. He's going to come back and that like Hillary Clinton and Biden and all these are part of this big cult. But the one thing that strikes me when I watch all the QAnon and all the people with the Make America Great Again hats, I'm just thinking, that's some amount of merchandise.
Mm.
How much money is he making of all that stuff?
There's stalls outside.
When we were at the White House.
Yeah, the White House, just stalls full of those hats. I don't know if he's getting a cut or what. It would be a if I'm his business manager.
Yeah,
it'd be a miss to not be getting a cut.
You can buy the MAGA hats off his website.
Okay, right. Okay.
And the gas thing is that "Make America Great Again" was Ronald Reagan's slogan, and he's like, "That's great. Let's use that."
So people think. So
he made a fortune.
To be without getting too heavy on this.
Yeah.
People think Trump's a time traveler.
Well, one of the posts about Q was that Donald Trump is back from the future. So this stems from the fact that Donald Trump's uncle...
Future where hair plugs haven't been discovered yet.
He needs a weekend in Turkey. $4,000 to get your teeth whitened as well. So John Trump, his uncle, was a notable physicist, an engineer, an inventor. Oh, yeah. And he worked for the US National Defense Research Committee and allegedly had access to top secret files that were from Nikolai Tesla, the physicist. And these had the blueprints for a time machine. And then at some point, Donald Trump gained access to these and is traveling through time, leaving anonymous cryptic messages on an internet forum. So to me now, it's a bit of a reach. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
They also say that
it's like the plot for the Terminator, to be honest.
It does.
I tell you what, do you know, like just reading this and doing a bit of research on it. And look, if people believe it, fair play to you, you know, you believe it. But if someone arrived in to like Warner Brothers studio and said, here you go, I've got this plot for a film.
Yeah.
And regurgitate what you just did there, they go, come on, no one's going to believe that.
Look, Netflix is next door.
Yeah. They're mad into that stuff.
They're like, no, that's great. Just put in a bit about cocaine and a serial killer and Netflix will make it.
Yeah. Look, this is... I read this. I have to be honest. I read this and on halfway through my research, my head just really hurt. I was like, what the fuck? I can't take this in. So I gave up. But yeah.
Well, they say that there's an owl lad who attends the Trump rallies and he's the bulb off Trump. And people are like, that's Trump back from the future. But I mean, like, if you had a time machine.
Could just, like, you look like Owen Farrell. People don't say that's Owen Farrell, but he's Irish, you know.
Some people say that.
Yeah.
I can't kick like
everyone. Do you reckon everyone is a
doppelganger? Yeah.
Do you reckon so?
Yeah. Look, there's people listening to this thinking that, like, we're after taking a heap of drugs or something. We haven't. It's just that this is what is knocking around on your Facebook feed, and you might have heard about it. So now you know what the gist of it is, and you can choose whether to engage with that or not.
Yeah. Or else you're friends with someone on Facebook who is constantly commenting about conspiracy theories on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now you have a little bit.
Yeah. That's where we come up with the idea.
There was a book, by, like, ages ago, and it was called The Travels and Adventures of Little Baron Trump. And then Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Adventure. And the third book by that writer was called The Last President. So people are like saying like that was written like years ago. There are clues. Look, what this has to do with time travel, I don't know. I'm just saying this is the crack.
Wow.
If I could time travel, I'd go back and headbutt Oliver Cromwell or something.
Yeah.
And Thierry Henry's left hand.
Yes, I would agree on that. Yeah, look, I don't think Trump's time traveling.
Marge, you reckon Trump is time traveling?
If he was, I don't think he'd be able to not tell people that he was a time traveler. He'd be like, oh, I'm the time traveler, I'm the greatest time traveler, and not a lot of people know that. So,
yeah, 100%. Okay. He couldn't hold his piss.
Yeah.
Give us another conspiracy theory, lad, that is becoming very popular at the moment, especially with Dublin housewives who can't spell.
So a lot of people will have seen this photo that there was a protest in Dublin last week. What do we got now? We are it's now at the start of March. So there was a protest in Dublin and this photo came out about two women wearing black t-shirts saying RTE have sold their souls, and there was spelt wrong. One of them was also drinking a can. And then there was a protest
on the street.
I don't mind drinking on the street now.
Yeah.
But punctuation.
that's a bigger offence.
There was all these protests going on down Customs House Quay and all, and there was loads of people with Ireland flags and all these signs saying save our children. And I saw this in the news and I was like, what are they on about?
Mm.
And the news didn't really engage with it because it's a bit out there and they say, well, don't want to be giving them airtime. Basically, they say it's this drug, adrenochrome, that... if you terrify somebody, the adrenaline is up in their blood and then you extract it and then you kill the person and you have this adrenaline, adrenochrome drug, and you can inject it into somebody and like this keeps them looking young and vibrant and all this. And that is the gist of it. Now, adrenochrome first came up. It was in the, did you ever see that movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No.
You'd nearly want a half bottle of Pochin inside you to understand it now.
Yeah, okay, right.
It's about the writer Hunter S. Thompson, and I really enjoyed it now, but it's a bit out there anyway. So.
I'll stick to EastEnders.
like when the coronavirus came in, some of the QAnon people were putting up photos of like Ellen DeGeneres, Johnny Depp, and your favourite Celine Dion, saying, oh, look, they look terrible in these photos. That's because they can't get adrenochrome because of the pandemic.
Fucking hell. So, like, this is a theory that RTE are, like, you know, funding this adrenochrome.
Yeah, they rounded up children and
Mara?
Are harvesting their...
Yeah.
You on the ship?
So, Mark Tye from the Sunday Times interviewed those two women, like, and is like, what's the story with, like, the T-shirts? Like, why are you saying RTE sold their souls? And she said, they alleged that there was 9,000 people or 9,000 babies who went missing last year, that RTE staff harvested the adrenochrome from them and then buried those bodies underneath the children's hospital. Now, that's a lot of faith in RTE's abilities. Like, you know, we struggle to get the player working right at times. No harm, not tagging it off. But, like, the fact that, you know, we can't make a simple bit of software work, whereas, you know, all those 9,000 bodies, don't mind them, lads, dig over that there, yeah.
Imagine, like, Marty Whelan out, like, dressed in a Ghostbusters costume. Just been like, right, where are they?
He does look well.
Yeah, in fairness, yeah. Yossi, a few people in there didn't get their hit, I'd say.
Andy? Andy, you look well as well. You've been at it.
Oh, what, you saying I'm Martino, are you?
No, just, you know, two of us are looking fresh, people say to us.
Yeah, well, we're not on the adrenochrome, lad, which they often... I don't take any of that shit, right?
Creamy pints, maybe.
Yeah. In fairness, though, Ellen DeGeneres does look young.
She does look young.
Yeah, she looks like she hasn't changed since 1990. But, like, they're forgetting about something here. Botox.
Yeah.
You can look however the fuck you want in the world. In the modern world, you can... If you want to look like a welly... There's a good chance someone will be able to do it, like, to you. You can look like Antin, like.
Inject Wavin into you.
100%, like rubber, silicone. No, but you know what I mean? Like, there's people out there who are like, well, I want to look like a human Barbie doll, so I can do it.
Yeah, that's true,
but there's
no
one questioning that. So look, Jesus.
There's all those lads who got surgery to make themselves look like vampires and dragons and all that.
Yeah, for me, this is getting a thumbs down for me now as far as conspiracy theories go.
Yeah, thumbs down for me as well. You got the next one, Johnny.
Yes, Elvis Presley faked his own death, right? There's a persistent belief that I wish I was the king did not die in 1977. Some say he made an appearance on our Patreon live last month. All right, yeah, could be true. Fans persist, right, in claiming he's still alive, that he went into hiding for various reasons. The claim is allegedly backed up by thousands of so-called sightings. There's an Elvis impersonator in every town. If you're drunk enough, you'll think he's Elvis, right? So it's like, do you know, I guarantee you think now. I bet you there's someone you know who's like, oh yeah, that's Jimmy Elvis.
Yeah.
Oh, why do you call him Jimmy Elvis? Oh, he does an Elvis impersonation. So like, if you're drunk enough, like, imagine you're out on a Friday night, right? You've been drinking all day since lunchtime, right? And that Friday night, you're pissed as a fart. And you go into your local and then bang, in he comes, white suit. Hair all slick by big locks and starts belting out like you ain't nothing but a hound. You wake up Saturday morning, you're like, fuck. How drunk? I'm pretty sure I saw the Elvis and the Jacks last night. Yeah. That's what those sightings are. And a lot of those sightings are in America as well, so you gotta question it.
I was telling you about the time I was playing a pub and an Elvis impersonator came in.
Yeah.
We were in Brough in County Limerick, I swear to God, doing this gig. And about 11:30 at night, we're playing away our set, doing Bruno Mars or something. And this guy walks in the door in full Elvis costume, struts right up on stage, takes the mic off me, and says, "Hound dog in A."
But he definitely is alive.
And then he just started singing, and we just backed him. We played Hound, and then we finished Hound Dog, and he just kicked off into Jailhouse Rock.
Oh.
And then we backed him for Jailhouse Rock. And then he gave me back the mic and walked out the door. Said nothing to no one. Huh? And then afterwards.
King is alive, man.
Afterwards.
He's living in Brough. Elvis is alive. He's living in Brough.
He's not dead. He's just in East Limerick. I said it to the owner of the pub. I was like, I don't know if anyone else saw that. But like, Elvis came in and he was like, he's there pulling the pint. Oh, yeah. That'll be himself up the road. He does that, all right, yeah.
Ah, oh, that's incredible. When I get old, man, that's the kind of shit. I want to just come into the pub dressed as Garrett Brooks and just be like, just be like the river in sea.
Blame it all on
Oh, man. But
give us another one, Johnny.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think Elvis is dead.
Yeah, you sure Elvis is dead?
Jim Morrison is a better one now. You know Jim Morrison from The Doors?
Tupac, lad.
Well, Tupac, I think Tupac is dead.
Yeah, but remember they were saying Tupac wasn't dead. Like.
Who said that?
I read that before. Did you ever hear? Yeah, Neil. Yeah, Neil said that as well.
Do you reckon he's dead, Neil?
Neil reckons he's dead. He's dead too. Like. It's pretty hard to fake your own death.
Well, the Jim Morrison one, he was buried at night. He was in Paris with the girlfriend and they said he'd like died in the bath and only the girlfriend and the doctor saw it. And they buried him like in secret at night and like no one ever saw the body.
Ah, oh, jeez, we're going down a whole different rabbit hole. Do you think Jim Morrison's alive?
He'd be mad enough to do it.
Well.
He'd be mad enough. He's probably dead, but like.
Elvis will always be alive with impersonations and you can buy his costume online for around 60 quid.
Jim Morrison, harder to impersonate. What have you got, Johnny?
The disappearance of Shergar, lad.
All right.
Don't know if this is a conspiracy theory as such, but when we Googled it, it was. February the 8th, 1983, a group of men wearing balaclavas and armed with guns turned up at Ballymanny Stud Farm in County Kildare, Ireland, and took a hostage, Jim Fitzgerald, the stud's head groom. "We've come for Shergar," they said. "We want 2 million for him." Shergar was arguably the greatest racehorse that had ever lived, but 25 years after he was kidnapped, the mystery of exactly what happened to him after he was snatched still lingers. All right? Like, it's going to be no surprise in the next part I'm going to read. The theories are numerous that the IRA, Colonel Gaddafi and the Mafia featuring among the most lurid. A bunch of lads in balaclavana would lead you towards one group.
Not the Elvis impersonators either. Right?
Yes. There's a wild group in Bruff, all right, but I don't think they're into robbing racehorses. One story suggests that the IRA kidnapped the horse for Gaddafi in return for weapons. Another suggests that the New Orleans Mafia took him.
So this is Muammar Gaddafi, the former dictator of Libya.
Okay.
I think he...
What would he want with the horse?
He was into all that.
Horses?
Yeah, he was into horses. I know a lot of lads are into horses.
He was running sulky races over in fucking... Libya, was he? Oh, this lad will be great. He'll race any horse.
Maura, you've got horses now. You must be up to speed on this, are you?
Oh, yeah. This fascinates me. It's like, you know, like I'm glad the troubles are over, but I'd really love to know what happened to Shergar. There's been like documentaries about it ever, and it's never really kind of come out. But I kind of reckon that they probably put him down because they wouldn't be like he was a stallion and like. He mightn't have taken too well to being, you know, stuck in a shed in South Armagh, you know, so...
Allegedly, Jesus allegedly. Christ, allegedly.
You're the one supposed to be saying allegedly, not us.
Fucking complaints tomorrow. We're washing our hands.
Yeah, I feel really sorry for everybody who's connected with Shergar because it's obviously an awful thing to happen.
Harrowing experience, like, yeah. I reckon he's down in Mucker's house. He's doing those jaunt rides, you know, the things... Fucking American tourists flying around Mucker's house around 100 mile an hour like Shergar's pegging it by wheels coming off and all. What the fuck, Shergar?
Yeah, but Maura, like, would you recognise Shergar if you saw him?
No, I'd love if he was like running out, like out and like across the Connemara Plains with a bunch of Connemara mares. Some old lad had bought him, you know.
Into the west.
Yeah.
I bought him a Ballinasloe.
Yeah. I'm running with a few mares.
No, about that.
That's what I hope happened to Shergar. So
I reckon, yeah, they sold him for like £500 cash.
Yeah. Okay, another conspiracy theory. We're getting to the end here. This is all for a bit of crack, lads. If you come on here trying to actually have a deep conversation, you're wrong podcast.
Last one.
Bigfoot. No, not a fella who plays Junior B for Care. Although there are Bigfoot sightings all over the US, Washington State has the highest number. There's been 2,000 sightings in the state, according to Newsweek. So Bigfoot was like, no one really knew what Bigfoot was.
Big hairy
was
monster.
Was he an alien? Was he a monster? No one really knows.
Some sort of a caveman, big hairy
York. There's a lot of theories around it. Some believe it's a ferocious beast meant to be feared, and others think it's a harmless creature that wants to be just left alone. There's other theories that Bigfoot is related to humans since it walks on two legs, while others think it's an extraterrestrial being. Spooky ET job. The original 1958 footprints were actually a prank, though, by a man called Ray Wallace near Bluff Creek in Northern California, according to the Smithsonian. His children revealed it was all a joke after his death in 2002. So, Bigfoot.
His children have come out and said it's a joke, and then 2,000 people said they saw it.
Yeah.
Go on, America, you mad whores.
Isn't it crazy, though? But Bigfoot nowadays would be a WhatsApp message. You know what I mean? It's like fucking you get a WhatsApp message like, lad, fella I know from fucking Leash, so after seeing this thing off the mountain, and it just goes around WhatsApp groups.
Yeah.
That's the modern day equivalent of Bigfoot. People forget about it. Whereas here it was like 2,000 people like, I swear to God, man, I fucking seen him. He was huge.
I'd love to do it in Care. If you can get these yokes, like you clip onto your shoes so that you leave mad footprints.
Oh, yeah.
Go up the mountain and then get the chainsaw out and leave a load of scrapes on the trees and put up a sign like, you know, the beast from Care East.
You make a fortune.
Yeah, we start selling coffee from a horse box.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Make a fortune,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we could case you up there with a horse box, boy. We'll make a fortune of it. Okay, if you hear a story in the paper next week, right, don't blow our cover.
I love the stories of big cats. There's one of them every year, like some giant cat.
On the loose, like.
Yeah, like a panther or jaguar or something.
But in fairness, though, the kids, like, whose father done this practical, they must think their father's some legend.
He started Bigfoot.
Like, do you reckon he brought them out in the backyard on? He said, come here, like, come here, sit down there. I have something fucking unbelievable to tell you. You know Bigfoot? That was me. They're like, what, you're Bigfoot? He said, no, no, no. All these Egypts. I just put one footprint in the ground. They're all Egypts.
I hope he made money. Did he sell Bigfoot t-shirts or something?
He's probably renting out car parks or something. 100%. That's what you do in Care. You'd be like, there's a massive beast up there, and it's like €3 park your car now.
Yeah.
You want a €3 an hour. It's the best deal I can do.
€5 and I guarantee you see the beast.
Yeah.
Look,
there he was. Oh, you missed him.
Our Irish people are a bit more cynical.
Yeah,
we like to think we are.
Yeah, I'm very cynical, I have to say, when it comes to conspiracy theories. But that is because I'm not worried about something that, like, isn't going to impact on me directly. God, it took me a while to get that out.
And the reason we're talking about this is because in the last 2 years especially, Facebook has been on fire.
For the conspiracies.
Yeah, and we didn't even have time to get into COVID and all that and the protests that were on last week and all. Personally, I only go on Facebook for two men from Care. They hate everyone equally.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love it. And I always read their comments because I don't agree with any of them. But it's great to hear somebody, the other point of view.
Yeah, it's nice to get that perspective.
So I'd be slow to say, oh, you're all lunatics, and then not listen to them. Mm. I'd like to listen to them and then say, no, I don't agree with that. But
yeah. We can all have our say, yeah. Whether it's right or wrong.
You know, even lunatics can be right the odd time.
But it's scary. Like, after reading this for a couple of hours yesterday, like, my mind was racing. Is this true? And then in the end, I just had to go, look. Goose Frabba. Relax, right, relax. This isn't going to impact you. But I can see how, in this time of coronavirus and pandemic, when people have loads of time on their hands, how they can really buy into this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And start believing it, like, 100%.
But
look, we could be all wrong. Maybe there is a big massive conspiracy theory.
Sure, look, there's loads going around that, like, the coronavirus is made in the lab and New World Order, and we didn't even get into the Illuminati and the Queen being a lizard. We didn't even get into that.
We'll definitely revisit this at some stage if it's what the people want.
Yeah, but give us your best ones.
Yeah,
your favorite ones.
Yeah, and don't, like, you know, if you're thinking about writing like a 5-page email to us, you know, about like some weird conspiracy.
You can send us a link to a video.
Yeah,
I'll watch
send us a link to like a 3-minute YouTube video.
Maybe the aliens built the pyramids as well. I don't know. We're throwing that in there.
Yeah. I'd say they built those new houses in Rosemont anyway because they were fucked up.
Stay it. Right.
Legend has it the Allman Brothers wrote their 1973 hit Ramblin' Man about this very buckle. It's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! Hello, Blondie.
Wow.
You're like the singer, Blondie.
Am I?
Do you remember them?
Blondie, yeah.
Girls just wanna have fun.
That was Cyndi Lauper.
No, that's
Cyndi Lauper.
Iron Maiden. That's one of them. You're like Iron Maiden.
Okay, thanks.
Well, right, news.
Yes.
The French are at it again. Eating wine with no trousers on, drawing pictures of flowers that are all over the place.
Eating wine.
Maybe that's not what I'm talking about. There's a French food company that have big supermarkets. They'd be like O'Connor's here in town, but less of a smell, I'd say. Just O'Connor's below. He's as tight as the strings of a fiddle. That man, right? You shake hands with that man. And I swear to God, he has his other hand in your back pocket and he's pissing on you, right? Now, I know I did an ad for
that. That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah, but that was for money.
So that's different.
He bent pay too, Ram.
Did he?
Yeah, a few foreigners working there now.
All right.
And people were giving out. And I said, sure, they're doing no harm.
Yeah, exactly.
There's only a few of them. Like, I heard Poland is full of them. Full of foreigners. I suppose they mightn't be foreigners when they're at home, are they?
No, that's exactly how it works. Yeah. Exactly how it works.
Would we be foreigners if we went over there?
Yes.
So couldn't we still be ourselves? I'm just Noel, you know?
Yeah.
I know how to be a foreigner. I don't speak the language. I don't like the food. I wouldn't be able to be a foreigner. Do I have to start dressing like a foreigner?
You look pretty... You're not too far off there, Sir Leonard Jack.
So, right. There's a shop in France, right? Before you distracted me. A big shop. And, like, they could be selling parsnips for anything now, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow, exactly.
Lettuce.
Yeah.
Asparagus. All the fruits.
Yeah.
They've been sued by the Amazon. Now, not your man that owns the internet, but the indigenous people of the Amazon. They're suing the French crowd because they bought their beef off a crowd in Brazil that have cut down a heap at Amazon to rear cattle. Oh. A lot of cattlemen listening.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to be deforesting. But this crowd, they're in trouble, I'd say. The French passed an old law saying you have to avoid human rights and environmental violations and the Rovers crowd. It must all be avoided. I put that in myself.
Yeah, I figured that.
The French actually never said it. Maybe they should. But the crowd supplying the beef are called the Casino Food Chain. They're big, like the French version of O'Connor's, right? They're a big meat packing business. And they're after cutting down a heap at Amazon 5 times the size of Paris. And they're looking, they're suing for a couple of million. So any food men out there, beware.
Food men.
Any food men, beware where you're sourcing your meat, because you could be bringing trouble on yourself.
Yeah.
O'Connor had a bit of trouble during the week.
Yeah.
Down the shop in the car park.
What?
Are you familiar with the lone gunman?
No, I'm not.
The lone gunman. No one knows who he is. Carmen reckons he's one of the Caseys, but... But no one knows who he is, eh? He pulled into O'Connor's shop during the week in a blue Subaru car, like a race car it was.
Yeah.
And no one knows where he got it. Now, Dan said he bought it at the Highlands, but...
No one knows where he got it.
Any fella driving a car like that, he must be up to no good.
Yeah.
That's why they call him the lone gunman. He drives that car around, yeah, always on his own. Sometimes he has people with him. But no one knows who they are. One of them looks very like the girl of the Keatons.
But no one knows.
So beware. Beware the Amazon beef. And the lone gunman. Beware the lone gunman. Because no one knows.
Please.
Could be one of the cases.
Which one of the cases?
There's one name I wouldn't know. He never heard. That's what Carmen reckons, anyway. How are you getting on with your one?
Good, fine, yeah.
She didn't get sense yet?
No, not yet.
Did I ever tell you about me and Carmen's first date?
No.
The first date I ever had with my woman, I brought her to a hurling match.
Yes, lovely.
I collected her in the van. I had a bag of calf nuts in the back for her to sit on.
Oh, what a
well,
romance.
Well, I had Patch Hartigan in the passenger seat beside me. He couldn't drive to Patch, you know, missing a foot. So she was happy enough in the back.
Yeah.
I put on the radio, Tip Midwest.
Of course.
Let her know I'd be fairly swanky.
You know. Yeah.
Myself and Patch were having their crack anyway. Like, you have to have the crack.
Oh, yeah.
You have to have the crack. Like, I might go around the bend and, like, swing the back of the van into it and she'd go flying, you know?
Good crack.
But I'd be sensitive, too. Do you know, I might turn around to her and say, Let me know if you need to make a shite. I can pull over if you want, you know. I'd be sound, don't I?
Yeah.
We got to the match anyway, and I said, lie down. Lie down. So we got her in for nothing. Into the match. And the match itself was fantastic. She's a powerful match. And I said to her after, I said, well, did you enjoy that? And she said, 'twas grand. And I said, grand? I scored 2-7 from wing back. Fucking more you want in the first eight, woman.
You were playing?
Of course I was playing.
Okay.
Hey, Christ. After the game then, we had 10 sandwiches in the dressing room. Fuck it, we must have been in there an hour. And when I came out, she was still waiting at the van anyway. I had a scorn in my pocket and I stepped it to her and I said, hey, keep it going. But I didn't want the boys to be thinking we were too serious, you know. Do you get me?
Yeah, I get you.
Back to the pub anyway. And I got her a baby sham.
A baby sham?
Well, fuck it, I must have had 18 or 19 pints anyway. I was at the counter, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of reenacting all my scores, like, you know. And she was in the lounge. And I wasn't talking to her, but I was giving her the eye.
Yeah.
You know, I was giving her the eye. And I was going to get her a second drink. Where someone had to drive the van. She was dropping us home, you know, and she wasn't saying too much. She wasn't saying too much now on the drive home. And I said, are you off with me? And she said, no, I'm fine. But I knew there was something on her mind. I'd be fairly clued in with the women, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, you're tickled me because I missed that 65 now, aren't you? I said, I don't need this shit. Look, I don't think this is going to work. And she said, no. She said, look, the wind was against you. I wouldn't hold it against you. She said, look, I had a lovely day. Maybe we could go again sometime. And I said, that's great. There's a league semi-final in 2 weeks. I pick up at the cross. And she left the van at mine and walked home. It was only a couple of miles. Well, she was only able to have one drink.
What a gentleman.
You know, she's only able to have the baby sham. Like. She'll be fine. No other road. See, no, I said I'd bring her to a match that I was playing. I didn't want to be on the sideline talking shit, you know. Like,
yeah.
If you came into a match with a strange young one on your arm, like, I'd have to check the rule book. You could be pulled up on it or anything, you know. So we went to the league quarter final anyway, just myself and Campbell and Patch. And the rest is history.
Wow.
That's how you do it, by.
That is romance, man.
Yeah. You know the Patch?
I know of him, yeah.
Yeah, he's a cobbler.
Yeah.
You know, it would be unusual to see a cobbler with only one foot.
Yeah.
But like he always says, Noel, that's shoebiz. That's shoebiz, baby. No, he is an alcoholic.
Jesus, 14.
That's how he lost the eye.
All right, okay.
Don't drink and cobble. That's a fact.
That's shoebiz.
That's shoebiz, baby. He's burnt from the drink, though.
Is he?
Ah, he burnt. Oh, yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
And nobody beware the lone gunman.
Nobody knows who he is.
Could be anyone.
Okay, she's a sore back at the minute, probably because we're such a pain in her arse.
Hey.
Maureen, what's your mystery topic this week?
Okay, just a warning, if you're listening with your parents now.
Oh, Maura!
Fucking shenanigans.
Okay. So on the Patreon this week, we were talking about big dick energy. But I think it's only fair that we talk about little dicks too. You know, little dicks matter. So what do you do if you feel that your tackle is a bit smaller than the average Mickey? I've been researching this because I'm wondering, like, you know, if a woman feels that her boobs aren't big enough, can she get, like, you know, she can get breast implants? It's like, so what's the options for men? So the NHS actually wrote a really good article online about this. So Professor Kevin Wiley, a sexual medical consultant, says men with concerns about their penis size should consider talking to a health professional before experimenting with treatments, which are mostly ineffective, expensive and potentially harmful. Many men who worry about the size of their penis generally have overall body image issues, he says. And what happens is that they tend to focus on the poor body image on their penis. Okay. So often he recommends counseling. He says that it can make a real difference by building, you know, self-esteem, correcting distorted views about body image and learning more about what makes people attractive. So have you, do you know any of the things that men resort to?
No.
I know there is a yoke, like a dick pump.
Okay, we'll go through this, was okay?
Just in Austin Powers.
No, Magic Mike there, this fella pumped Mickey's up.
Yeah, wow. Okay, penis pumps, they involve placing a tube over the penis and then pumping out the air to create a vacuum. The vacuum draws blood into the penis and makes it swell. Vacuum devices are sometimes used in the short-term treatment of impotence, but overusing a penis pump can damage the tissue of the penis, leading to weaker erections. Also, there is very little evidence that these devices cause any significant long-term gain in size. So, doesn't work, lads. Don't be going at your Mickey with a penis pump.
Does anyone use these?
Some men do for impotence, but yeah, like the problem is that there's a lot of like BS on the internet about stuff that you can do to your Mickey to increase the size. Like men are just so gullible when it comes to this type of thing. So like, for instance, like there's all these like pills and lotions that you can apparently buy, but like there's no scientific evidence suggests these work. The University of Maryland actually carried out analysis on some of these pills and lotions, and they found traces of lead, pesticides, E. coli, bacteria and animal feces.
Putting a load of Roundup on your Mickey.
So there's penile extenders as well. So there's two different methods. One is putting a small weight on the end of a flaccid penis to stretch it. No evidence, and it also may cause that it works. Yeah, it causes a bit of damage there.
That's a bit medieval, is it?
Yeah. Well, there's traction devices, so that's like, yeah. These have shown better results. Like over 6 months, use of traction devices it can result in a gain in size of 1 to 2 centimeters. Like 6 months of tractioning your Mickey and all you get is 2 centimeters. I don't think that's worth it, to be honest. Yeah. Now there's also surgery, but again, this is not great. So there's girth surgery. Okay, right. So if you want to increase the size of the girth, you can inject. No, but not silicone. Silicone's bad. Fat, like, you know, basically inject fat into the penis.
Wait, is this like what Huey got done to his arse?
Exactly. Yeah.
On last week's podcast. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So now studies have shown that over a long time, it can lead to disappointing results with complications including disfigurement, scarring, lumpiness, and infection. A better method, but it's still an experimental stage to increase girth, is a biodegradable frame filled with tissue cells around the shaft.
Ah, no. Ah, no. Come on.
This is, it's still an experimental stage, but like it's like some studies have reported increase in circumference of up to 4 centimeters. So now the penis length, the one that if you want to get longer, okay, right? The most common technique involves cutting.
There must be issues with your line there, Mara. We can't hear you.
And performing is
penis urgery.
This is science, okay? Cross your legs and relax, okay? All right. Performing a cutting the ligament that attaches the penis to the pubic bone and performing a skin graft at the base of the penis to allow for extra length. So, but this again can be a bad job because the ligament. You miss out on that ligament. It's not giving your penis support, and it actually leads to complications of like your angle of your penis, and it can make sex.
What I want to know is, do you have tiny Mickeys?
Do you think lads actually want to increase the size of their Mickey, or do you think, lads, you know, would, or you yourselves would resort to any of these methods?
More, there's fellas around the country now in cardiac arrest after this topic. Never mind. There's marriages broken up in the 2 minutes you've been talking, I'd say. Look, you can only play the hand you're dealt. If you have a small Mickey, you got a couple of options. You get really good at using...
Digital.
Yeah. Fingers and going down. Or, like, get really rich. Become a rapper. And then you just have pay a load of, like, hoes to hang around with you and do the business. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, if Puff Daddy had a tiny wiener now, a small Mick, a little wasp of York.
Right.
Would anyone care?
Oh, should he probably, maybe no. He has.
Sure, he has all them bikini-clad women dancing around in the videos and bad boys for life, you know what I mean?
I don't know, Mara. I don't know do any men worry about, genuinely, no. Maybe it is a concern to some men, but any lads I'd know now, like, you know, I know lads with big ones, I know lads with medium ones, you know. But lads don't know, like, you know, what each other's mickeys. Yeah, you'd probably see a lad in the shower, all right, like, you know, but you wouldn't be like, hey, come on, get on a horn there and give me a look. You know, it's not something you turn to say to your buddy, like, go on, get in a full one.
How would you know if you had a small mickey?
I don't know. According to science, the average size of a flaccid penis is 3.75 inches.
Nobody cares about that.
Yeah, what size is it? A wang?
Erect is between 5 inches and 7 inches. But, like,
where do you measure
having
from?
A big mickey... Having a big Mickey can be overrated, because I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, my friend Bungalow Bobby, who is everything downstairs, he said that he actually, like, he can't satisfy himself properly with a woman because it's too big. He can't put it all the way into her.
Oh, so, God,
like,
God, love him. Trying to go fund me for him.
Bungalow Bobby's.
For just €4 a month, you can help Bungalow Bobby.
Get dick reduction surgery.
Yeah.
He can give us a bit.
He needs a giant woman.
No, do you know what it is? There's no point having a big one and not being able to use it.
Yeah.
You got to be able to use it. So I'd educate yourselves and don't be worrying about size.
Beware of, like, illegal drugs and steroids and stuff. So they say that can have a bad effect on your manhood.
Yeah. I have some tips here if you want to know how to safely make your penis look a bit more handsome.
Shave
or
bigger.
Yeah, trim your pubic hair. A big amount of pubic hair can make your penis look smaller than it is. Also, lose weight. A beer belly hanging over your penis can make it look smaller.
Yeah, that's fair,
And just generally get fit. Getting into shape will not only make you feel more attractive, it'll also improve your sex life.
Tightens up everything down there.
Studies suggest that penis size is much lower down the list of priorities for women than such issues such as a man's personality and grooming. And when it comes to sex, women are much more interested in whether you are romantic, tender and sensitive to their needs and desires than your penis.
Accentuate
size.
The positives. Don't worry about the negatives. But do you know what? It is easy enough to say all that, because a lot of girls are like, oh, well, I hate me boobs, so I got big boobs. Those fellas don't really, you know, it's not as normal to be like, well, I have a tiny willy, so, you know, I got massive one. Nah, I don't know who's belonged to now, but...
No,
you should be fairly well strapped on down there.
Is it not like, I have a tiny wheelie, so I got a Ferrari?
Yeah. I have a tiny wheelie, so I worked real hard in college.
No, Ferraris are class, I'm only joking.
Yeah, no, lads, look, don't be worrying about it. You learn how to use it first. And don't be worrying about the size of it.
There was a really good TikTok video I seen the other day that was like, it was showing men how to stimulate the clitoris properly. Mm. So it was like, basically, this girl was fingering the yolk of an egg. So, like, basically, if she broke the skin of the yolk, that's too hard. But if you're, like, just able to massage the yolk without breaking the skin, that's how hard you should go on the clitoris.
No, get your eggs out, lads.
That's quite gentle.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, she cracked an egg, like, what, onto a plate? Raw?
Yeah.
And was rubbing the yolk of the egg without, like, busting the bubble?
Yeah, yellow part,
We'll give that a go later, so.
Oh, Jesus.
Duck eggs, have
fun. Wow, what a great weekend we're going to have.
Yeah. I think this is a really good clip to play to you, though. Do you know Ken Jeong, the guy
Mr.
from The
Chow.
Hangover? Mr. Chow. Okay, so obviously he jumps out of the boot in The Hangover, yeah. And you get you get a view of his equipment. So he actually did a comedy special on Netflix, and in it he addresses his penis size, and I think this is quite good. So hopefully you can hear this.
For those of you wondering, in The Hangover, yes, that was real, in the trunk. I'm a grower, not a shower, all right? It was cold, I swear, all right? It was cold outside, all right? But I'm secure about it. It's how the pencil writes, bitch. Yeah. It's how it writes. Mine can write in cursive. In cursive. Oh my God, calligraphy. Calligraphy. Konnichiwa, bitch.
Yeah. I'd agree with Ken there, boy.
It's the way that you do it.
It's not. Yeah. We're all growers, not showers, lads. Isn't that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Mara. That was informative.
And shocking.
I feel a bit better now.
I can let go of my manhood now. It's all over.
Okay.
Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies Podcast. Use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod. That's the number two to get in touch. Email us podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. We're on Instagram @thetwojohnnies. It's all there. You can email us any topics you'd like to hear us talk about or any correspondence you have.
We're on Facebook and we're on Twitter as well.
Yeah, anywhere. You'll find us everywhere. We're like Shaw's, almost nationwide. Only we're worldwide. Now, time to finish the podcast, as is tradition, with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week. This week, Yurt and Dirt is sponsored by Apple Green. Did you know Apple Green offer a 100% Irish breakfast roll to their customers? All ingredients in the roll are 100% Irish, using Irish-only producers and suppliers.
Yes.
Right? And Paddy's Day is coming.
Yes.
So there's nothing as Irish as a good fucking breakfast roll, by. Get into your mouth and just ate it.
St. Patrick himself, big fan of breakfast rolls.
Yeah, he did. He drove the snakes out. And do you know what he done afterwards? Sat down and had a breakfast roll.
Yeah.
There you go.
And strong tea.
Yeah, so you can get your 100% Irish breakfast roll in Apple Green. Yes.
If it doesn't have black pudding, I don't want to know.
What? Okay, right. What's on your breakfast roll?
Brown roll.
Right.
Butter.
Mm-hmm.
Both kinds of pudding.
Yes.
At least two sausages.
Yeah.
I can take or leave rashers.
Oh,
that's controversial now.
Oh, no, easy, no, easy. Calm down.
And I'd nearly say egg as well.
Okay. Yeah. Right, that's fair enough. I hate when I go to a deli and I'm like, can I get a large breakfast roll, please?
Mm.
And then she's like, what do you want on it? You taking the piss here? What do you mean? I want everything you have.
That's what have you got?
That's a breakfast to company. Like, and then she looks at me and goes, hash brown? I'm like, see the photo on the wall? See that photo on the wall there? Does that have hash brown on it? Yeah. I asked for a large breakfast roll.
Some people might want hash brown.
Look, when I
mushrooms.
Yeah, mushroom, onion, the whole lot. Whatever they have, I'll take it on the
beans.
Roll. No, not beans. I draw the line at beans. You won't get me on beans, lad. No, honestly, beans on a roll is just messy.
Yeah.
But I think, can I get a large breakfast roll? And sometimes I'd even ask, I get a large breakfast roll with everything on it.
Okay, that's fair.
Do you want to take it? Did I fucking stutter? And I said I wanted the breakfast roll with everything on. So there you go. That's what I didn't expect to talk about breakfast rolls. That wasn't part of the deal with Apple Green, but they're great men. They're coming on board. And don't worry. I know what you're thinking. What about chicken rolls?
Oh.
We're working on something very, very special for chicken rolls. Apple Green have come on board by.
Right.
Right, John. What have you got for us, anyway?
So we're following on with the names of rappers and things forwards and backwards. So Eminem, John.
Yes, I got some fantastic feedback. People were shocked that I didn't know that Eminem is from his initials. That's from last week's podcast, Eminem Marshall Mathers. Also, someone got in touch to say Eminem, the way it's spelled, E-M-I-N-E-M, stands for...
Everyone's mother is nice except mine.
Yeah, no, we don't know if that's, you know, came before or after, but it was intriguing nonetheless.
Good story, right? Talking about forwards and backwards... You all need to wrap your ears around this. Now, here it is backwards. It's Eminem. It's Eminem.
Mind blown.
How did he do it?
Oh, lad. Back in the early noughties, people must have loved just playing shit backwards a lot. that's how he did it.
Yeah.
Do you know what else blew me mind?
What?
Example. Yeah. You want me to come over, I've got an excuse. Where do you think his name came from? His initials. E.G. Elliot Green. E.G.
Example.
Yeah. Yeah, got that during the week on Instagram. I was like, come on. Keep, if you got any more of them, keep coming into me because they do blow my mind. But while I'm on that, my yurt of the week. You know, if you've got an iPhone and you like screenshot.
Yeah.
You press the two buttons here on the top and it screenshots. So when you screenshot, right, here's a little hack for you now. So normally it comes up, click into it and it comes up like done and then it says screen, right? I've never noticed this before. I've seen it during the week. Screen and full page. So instead of just screenshotting that little square bit that you've pressed, you can go into full page and then you can done, save PDF. So the whole page saves as a PDF. Yeah.
So at the top right and left says one page.
It says screen and page and you can just screenshot a whole page.
Like a whole article.
Yeah, if you go into an article, like, yeah, I just went into an article there and press page and then I get the whole article.
Where does it save to? Into your
phone? PDF onto your phone, yeah.
Class.
Yeah. There you go, a little hack for you all this week from my yurt. Johnny.
My word of the week this week is a word that I actually use all the time and I didn't even realise I was using it. So we've got the puppy outside now, you know?
Yes.
And he's eating everything. He's eating the cables off the wall. He came up to the back door the other day with a plug and about 4 inches of cable hanging out of his mouth. And just dropped it at me. I was like, there you go. I was like, where did you get that? But actually, he's not a puppy anymore because he got his first horn.
Did he?
Yeah. Got the lipstick out, bite.
Oh.
First horn.
You'll have to get him a fucking bitch now.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Marley, the other dog, Bob Marley's a virgin. He's never had a ride in his life.
And he's on the final straight, you'd say.
Oh, he's on death's door.
Yeah, he's on the lap of honour now at this stage. So are you going to get something in for him to...
Get something in for him to ride.
You can't let him go his whole life without, you know, that feeling.
Yeah.
You're a bad man.
If anyone has a dog, a bitch, let me dog get the jump before he dies, will you?
Hashtag justice for Marley.
So my word of the week is down to when I see my dog turning the corner there and he's still got all his puppy fat and he's just eating everything around him. And you give him, he'll eat it. And I would call him a puttock.
Okay.
Did you ever hear this?
I've heard you saying it, yeah.
You absolute puttock. Sitting there, if you're at dinner and like everyone has leftovers and one lad is like, I'll eat that.
Yeah.
You absolute, like a bin. You absolute puttock. And puttock is slang for the actual Irish word is patchicon, which means like a little plumpy creature.
Okay.
So if you've got a little fat cat at home that's like eating everything, go on, you absolute puttock.
Okay. Right, enjoy that.
There you go. You got anything else?
Yeah, just the dirt. You've probably heard it by now, but Pontins, the British holiday park.
Oh, yeah.
Have banned a list of like over 40 Irish names.
Yeah.
Three of us are on it. Mara, you're not on the list, right? But Neil's on it.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
Johnny's on
O'Brien.
It. O'Brien, McMahon, and then obviously Neil Cash. So, you know what I mean? The great man himself, the man in black, Johnny Cash, he wouldn't have been able to go to Pontins. They've banned his second name.
I'm not going to lie, I never heard of Pontins.
Yeah, well, they've come out and apologised and said they're not doing it anymore, but yeah, it was bad.
That old farm. Like,
Gallagher was on it.
Yeah. Oasis.
Oasis couldn't go.
Fucking hell, outrageous stuff.
Blur could go.
Yeah.
Blur could go, but Oasis couldn't go.
Damon Albarn, lad, was having a laugh going around Pontins, boy, doing magic tricks and shit.
I get up when I want.
Except on Wednesdays when I'm in Pontins. But yeah. They've got a bit of press over it. Negative press, you bastards.
Bit of spray painting going on in the world this week. Mm. Two noticeable ones. The Greta Thunberg mural in Dublin was covered in spray paint and the Ross Grey hurling wall.
Yes. Bad buzz, lad.
Bad buzz.
Bad buzz. Stop spray painting shit that's not yours.
But the one in the
That's an official statement. Like,
the one on the Ross Grey hurling wall is gas because it's quite well done.
Yeah.
And I feel like saying, if you had just rang the club.
Yeah, and been like, oh, we'll do you a class mural. Like, yeah.
See,
the problem is, people have been fundraising. That's cost a lot of money to get the Hurling Mall up there.
Yeah.
And now it's fucking destroyed. So, yeah. Just like, you know, spray paint your own stuff.
Yeah, there's your own gaff, like.
Yeah. Don't be coming up here spraying all our stuff. That's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope we gave you a laugh. And we hope you're all keeping the head, as we say ourselves. So, from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you Thursday on the Extra Pod and we'll see you back here next Monday. Go on.
Good luck.